somebody about Christ or your belief or your hope is in him and him alone, that you get that glazed look many times, and it's as if they think that you're some kind of nut. Now, it's good the Bible says that we're peculiar people anyway, so that part is okay. But listen, they don't get it. They don't hear and can't receive because they don't know the God whom you serve. In verse 2, he says, beloved, and I love that word as well, because it shows for the believer, guys, that we are beloved of God. And look, I know my wife loves me. I know my family loves me. But man, there's no higher love than to be beloved by God who has blessed me and even sent his son to die for me. And if he died for no one else, I know he did that for me. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, and listen, that's proof positive. He's saying that he will, and listen, by faith, I'm believing that he will. It says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And look, I look out at this group, fine-looking group, but listen, we have some frailties, we have sin issues, because we still have a sin, we still have a sin danger. And look, I would love to say I was perfect in Christ. And look, the only reason why God sees me as perfect is because of Christ. But I got some issues. And I got some things in me that God is still taking away. And look, right now, you, me, all of us might not look so good. But look, what John is saying is that when God comes back here, when Christ comes back, you ain't seen nothing yet. And look, he said that we shall see him as he is. And not only that, we'll be similar in our bodies like his. In verse 3, he says, and every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And guys, we know, we by faith believe that Christ is coming back here. And look, we know he's going to take his church out. But also, we don't just sit and rest on our laurels and say, okay, I'm saved, and I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. It don't much matter. No, he's saying that we need to even get closer to him, understand him, be obedient to him, and even more purify ourselves, guys. There's a whole lot of issues in our lives. And as we lay them on the table and ask God to take them away, he'll take them away. But while we're waiting, we ought to be growing in grace. This year, I should not be the same as I was last year when it comes to sin issues. I should know more about my Lord that I say I love this year than I did last year. And when someone sees me from last year, they ought to look at me and say, man, looks like you growing a little bit. Looks like something's happening. And listen, it's not because I'm gaining weight, but it's because I'm closer than I ever have been to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He goes on speaking about him. Whosoever, he says, committed sin, transgress also the law. For sin is transgression of the law. And look, he's talking about breaking of God's law. And all our sin is against him. And what he's saying is that for the believer, it ought to be less and less and less instead of more and more and more. And we know, verse 5 begins, that he was manifested. In other words, he put on flesh to take away our sins. And in him, it says, is no sin. And look, the only perfect man that ever walked this earth. And like we have a sin nature, Christ did not have a sin nature. And look, even some of the things that the world saw him do, like chasing out the money changers and with whips and that kind of thing, they saw as wrong. But God saw it as righteous because his son would never do any wrong. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, he says, have not seen him, neither known him. And look, what we know is that we're not perfect yet. We have not reached the heights of perfection. And in fact, all of us probably did something, thought something, or did something that was wrong in God's eyes before we came here today. But what he's saying is that because of the finished works of Christ, when God goes to look for my sin, he sees none. He says, in fact, they've been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. And it's not that I don't sin, but there should not be a consistency of sin. And if I'm still all the time going toward the sin zone, if I'm always still doing what I've been doing, no growth, no show of growth, and listen, no maturity whatsoever. What John is saying is that there's an issue with the relationship that we see we have, because God is perfect, and he has sent his perfect son. Amen. To be the propitiation for our sin, the perfect satisfaction for our sins. And if we're always going and still walking in sin, there's something wrong with us, because we know there is nothing wrong with him. He says in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous. Righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And I love this verse, man. It's so simple that if you had a seven-year-old boy in here and you let him read that, he would understand what you're talking about. He would understand that if you're doing right, then there must be something in you that leads you to do right and gives you the ability to do right. And if you're always doing right and giving God the glory in everything you do, then he would perceive that as one that is righteous. And in verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the verse says, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And guys, what we know is that by Christ's stripes, we have been healed. And what he is saying is that Satan is the original, in fact, it's the only original idea he's ever had, which was sin. And that any sin comes from his root. And he's saying here that he that committed sin is of the devil. And he's talking about, again, someone who's always migrating in an area. And no even thoughts of growth, no even thoughts of doing right, that go to church and they leave church and go right back into the area of sin. What he is saying is that there's something wrong with the relationship this man says he has, and he might, hallelujah, love a God, but he can't love our God. He has to love the God of this world, because the God, our God, would not lead him in the area of habitual sin.
That's right.
Guys, please be prayerful with me as I preach around the subject. Perfect love knows no boundaries. And Father, as we move forward into this great book, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will hide me behind your cross. And Father God, allow me to preach and teach these words that you have given me to study for this group for this day. And Father God, I pray first that you will make me first partaker. Allow these truths to fall into my spirit and touch the places in my heart where they would do the most good. And Father God, for these men, as we go forward in your word, Lord, touch them, bless them, minister to them. And Father God, if need be, save them in regard to your truth. Father God, place it in us where it would do the most good. And in advance, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And again, John starts it off with this word, beloved. And it's all, every time I read it, it's a reminder to me that how much God loves me. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because, and he uses this word here, many false prophets are going out into the world. And listen, he's not saying few, he's saying many. And look, that was during John's time. And what he's saying is that there are those that are diametrically against God that are going out and they're propagating their mission. They're propagating, look, what they want done and what Satan wants done. And he's saying that when somebody comes to me and they tell me that they love Jesus, and perhaps they would like to link with me or maybe preach it at one of the sessions that we have, then I need to first find out who he is, and I need to find out who indeed he's working for. Because he says it with his mouth does not necessarily mean that it's true in his heart. And he even gives us a little test in verse 2. He says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." And I love that, because in our times, and we were just talking about it in the kitchen there, that there are a lot of folk that come along and they say that man, my denomination loves God. My denomination thinks God is great. But man, they never get narrow like the scriptures say we ought to be narrow, and they never come to the understanding of who Christ is. And if all they're talking about is a generic God, and get upset when I get narrow and start speaking about Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. Guys, there are folk that are into martial arts, and they say we're spiritual, and we're reaching God all the way. We meditate and we get in these positions and we get closer to God. And I say that cannot be. You can't get closer to my God unless you go through a sign. And there are denominations that say we love God, and we're going to chant to get closer to God, or we're going to go door to door and do some works to get closer to God. But if you're dismissing the Son, there's no way you can get close to the true and living God. He says in verse 2, "Hereby we know," or "know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now," John says, "is already in the world." And look, he's talking about here, pointing toward that last Antichrist that will be revealed during the tribulation period. But he's saying that don't worry about him. Right now, the spirit that he's working out of, who the spirit of Satan, the prince of this world, is still alive and well and well and working in the time that we live in right now. Right. And guys, we see it. And it's encroaching and getting worse and worse and even escalating at an alarming rate, almost to the point of making us grievous in our hearts. He's alive. And he's doing, or should I say, he's dead in this dead world. And he's propagating his mission, and the world is buying it hook, line, and sinker. And listen, he's talking about the spirit of this Antichrist, but how about we look at something in regard to the last Antichrist? Guys, if you would, mark your page there or hold your finger there and go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, thank you, Lord. Chapter 2, and let's look at a few verses, beginning at verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you're with me, please say amen.
Amen.
And he reads, he says, "Now we beseech you," and by the way, we know this is Paul writing, and he's writing to this church at Thessalonica. He said, "Now we beseech you," in other words, he's pleading with them. He said, "Brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together," he says, "unto him," and look, he's pointing toward what we call the rapture, but the Bible talks about we're going to be caught up, rapture meaning the same thing, "that ye soon," he says, "be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter." Look what it says, "as from us, that day of Christ is at hand." And listen, these guys in Thessalonica, they were getting shook up, because from the moment that they came to faith in Christ, persecution was on them big time. And then you had these false teachers, they were coming in and they were telling them different various lies. Look, we got a letter from Paul. We're already in the tribulation period, and these guys are trying to understand, and Paul's writing them a letter to let them know that this thing had not happened yet. In verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And of course, he's talking about that last Antichrist, the one that they're going to put in office. And Paul's trying to rest their hearts on the fact that you're here and you're not with God. So no, it has not happened. And he's helping them understand. And by the way, helping us understand, he said there'll be a falling away first, guys. If we look out in our time and there is falling away from the faith. A lot of guys who you started off this walk with have turned, went opposite way. And God helps us to know through his word that if you can walk away from Christ, I'm not talking about stumbling for a minute, but if you can walk away from this great glory he's given us through Christ, then you probably never was in the first place. But he's talking about a time, and when the church is taken out, guys, that the influence of the Holy Spirit is going to be decreased by an alarming rate. And we know that during that tribulation period, during those 7 years, 3 years or 3.5 years of seemingly good times, and they will put that man of sin in office, and they will literally see hell on earth. He says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And by the way, guys, that's going to occur. That temple is going to be rebuilt. And listen, these guys are going to be so deluded and listen, so devoid of the Holy Spirit, that they're going to think that this guy is the one who's going to get us right. He's the one that'll take us back to where we need to go. And they're going to believe a lie over the truth.
That's right.
And they're going to be bamboozled, even sent a strong delusion, thinking that this guy is the one. And in reality, he's going to be the one, all right? He's going to be the one that will drive them to a place called hell. In verse 5, Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. In other words, he said, don't listen to the false teachers. I let you know beforehand. He says in verse 6, and now you know, I love this, what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And again, he's talking about the Antichrist. And look, he's saying that the Holy Spirit is holding back. And listen, it's not going to occur. We won't leave here. He won't be revealed until God says it's time. We just talk about a dear friend of ours, a pastor, and listen, God took him out of here, took him home to heaven, and we wonder sometimes, he's got a family, he's got kids, he had a pastor, was a pastor of a church that was growing, and then all of a sudden, bam, he's gone. And everybody sits back and they wonder, how could this be? And guys, it could be because God said it's time. And look, what we know is that our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not always his thoughts, and he does what he does because he does it. So in the midst of it, we pray for his family, we pray for his church, and we come alongside of them. But ultimately, God's will was done. Amen.
Yes.
He says in verse 6, and now you know what withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery, he says, of iniquity, and he's talking about this mystery of lawlessness, ultimate lawlessness, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And again, pointing toward the Holy Spirit. And look, we know that he's in control of all things in regard to God's timetable. And when he says it's time, guess what? It can happen right now. All things have been put in place. And while I'm yet preaching this word, God can call us out.
That's right.
And look, it would be okay with me. I don't even need to finish. But he's saying the Holy Spirit's in control of that, that it's only going to happen in God's time. He says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. And again, talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume. And I love this because he's fast forwarding to the point of him being revealed. And he's saying, the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And listen, he's talking about his glory and his truth. And I love this, man, because he's simply going to speak the words. There will be no action. actual physical fighting. He was simply saying that, that Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all of you who are following him have to be obedient to my truth, and now it's time for all of you to go to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're going to have to be obedient to what he says. He says, even him who's coming, verse 9, after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And listen, we know that he's going to apparently do some type of death and resurrection, again, trying to copy what God did. And even that's going to be a lie. It's going to be false. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because he said they receive, here it is, not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And again, another simple verse that a child can understand. And look, the reason why they're going to go to hell is because they refuse to hear, to receive, or to listen to what God is saying in regard to his son so that they could be saved. They think they're on the right track. They think, I know more than what you know. And listen, you Bible thumpers, you don't have a clue. I'm going to follow this man. And this man they will follow all the way into hell. In verse 11, he says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And guys, think about where we are now. We know he did that with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. And then he hardened his heart even so he said, you'll never believe. And we think about folk who are out here during our time. And listen, they're believing a lie. And I think about the ladies that have a child inside of them. And there's another heartbeat inside of them. And when they say, this is my body, and I'm going to do with my body what I want to. And you try to reason with them and say, well, lady, that's another heartbeat. That's not yours. And they shout you out and say, well, I don't care what you're saying because this is my body. And if I want to dispose of anything in my body, it's okay. And you got folks that are born male or born female.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face. inside, the heroes of the faith. All with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Transgressions, wandering in sin. I went searching for redemption down a road that had no end. I was walking through the fire. I was living on the run with my flesh lost in desire. I was drowning in the flood. But God, far from being perfect, there